Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3 is where we will be tonight. And just thankful for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you tonight. And thankful for the opportunity that we have, no matter the circumstances, to hold God's Word and to read it, to look over it, to share it together. And I pray that tonight will be a blessing to you all. So, Philippians chapter number 3. Really, as I was praying and looking at this message, I had kind of New Year's in mind, kind of just starting off this 2021. And the title of my message tonight is Refocus. Refocus. You know, I think of 2020, what a year. We look back on the past year, some of us with joy, some of us with heartache, some of us we look at the bad, some of us we look at the good, and there's just all kinds of different memories from 2020. But there's one thing about 2020, is that at least it's over. And we can look back in this last year and we can remember what God did and we can look at some of the great things, but we can look forward to this new year. And I was thinking of this new year and heard a lot about resolutions and goals and different things. And I'm not necessarily much of a New Year's resolution kind of person. I make some goals and I have some things that I want to work towards. But you know, I looked at some resolutions and I decided, you know, it'd be great to look at some kids' resolution. So I looked up some of these and they're pretty funny, but Joey, age 10, he made this resolution. He said, my New Year's resolution is not to eat as much sugar, but I probably won't keep it. So I'm sure most of us are probably there as well. Declan, age 11, he said, my New Year's resolution is to eat 10 bags of clementines a month. I don't know about you, but that is a lot of clementines. Kendra, age 6, wrote, so what is the point of making resolutions if you never really keep them? Kendra probably is a lot wiser than most of us. We make some resolutions and by January we're done. I think at age 8, she said, my resolution is to stop biting my nails because my mom says she's going to make me wear nail polish that tastes like rotten eggs if I don't. Will, age 4, simply said in all caps, I will eat all the cake. Only 4 years old, and that was his resolution. I think Will probably had the best resolution out of all of them. I think of just 2021, I read some more resolutions, the funny ones, just ideas coming off of 2020. It says, sign up for a marathon that I bravely will not actually run. Another one was read more or at least turn on the subtitles while I'm watching TV. Somebody else said, wake up before noon on the weekends, eat more tacos. That's a good one right there. Refuse to acknowledge the existence of 2020. And the last one for you this evening is stop making resolutions. Just some funny resolutions. I know a lot of you probably have made some decisions, some goals. I'm sure that some of you have made some great goals. And Lord willing, by the grace of God, you can hit those goals. But you know, tonight's message isn't necessarily about making resolutions, but rather about regaining our focus for this upcoming year. You know, we've heard all the 2020 phrases and puns, you know, 2020 vision and all of those things about this last year. And we kind of got halfway through and a lot of those things were lost. We were focused on so many different things this past year. There were so many different things going on, whether it was politics, whether it was health, whether it was anything that went on this year where we really had a lot of different things staring us in the face and saying, focus on me. Whether it was the pandemic and saying, focus on your health. Whether it was the election and just saying, focus on politics. Whether there's something going on in your personal life that said, focus on this and focus on this. And I don't know about you, but there were a lot of times in 2020 where I lost the focus on Christ that I should have had. Yeah, I can tell you there were times this year where life just got busy, where I worried and I stressed, whether it was about health or times where I worried more about politics and the election than I did about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were times, whether it was school and finishing up and graduating college or whether it was stuff going around with the pandemic and all these things, there were times when I lost my focus. And really, as I studied this message, it helped me to see where I personally need to regain my focus. And I hope this message will help you and I, and that we need to put our focus on Jesus Christ alone. You know, looking back at this, you know, there are a lot of important things. You're caring about our health in the middle of a pandemic, that's important. The political election in the United States, obviously, you know, that was a big deal. That's a huge deal. And it's not to say that those things aren't important, but we have to focus on Jesus Christ far more this year than we did in the last year. So Ephesians chapter number 3 And verse number 10 is where we'll begin reading tonight. And I just want to challenge you this evening for a few minutes on the idea of setting our focus on knowing and being like Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "But I rejoice in the," chapter 3, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Really, as we look at this chapter, as we look at Philippians chapter number 3, we're going to see where Paul sets his focus on Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray before we get into the rest of the message. Dear Father, Lord, we love You, and God, I need Your help tonight, Lord. I'm desperately, Lord, in need of Your grace, in need of Your wisdom, in need of Your Spirit, Lord. And I know that all those who are listening, Lord, all those that are here tonight, God, we need to hear from You tonight. And Lord, I pray that as You speak through Your word, that You would challenge us, God, that You would encourage us, Lord, that You would show us some areas, Lord, where we just need to focus on You, God. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for how good You are. Lord, how faithful You've been this past year. And Lord, forgive me, forgive us for the times when we were not as faithful to You as we should have been. And Lord, I pray that You'd speak to us tonight by Your power and by Your Spirit, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. And as we look at this passage of Scripture and as we look at the idea of refocusing on Jesus Christ, the first thing that we need to do is we need to take our focus off the past. Take our focus off the past. Too often when trying to live for God, we are plagued by either past failures or past dependencies. It's amazing the Apostle Paul just how much he changed. I'm going to turn over to Acts chapter number 9. You can, but you don't have to. Acts chapter number 9. And what we'll see is the conversion of Paul. Most of us know that before Paul accepted Christ as Savior, he was Saul. He was a persecutor of the church. In Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there was a shine round about him, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Here is the conversion of Paul, where he goes from being Saul, the persecutor of the church, to being the Apostle Paul, person who wrote parts of Scripture, a person who was a leader of the church, a person who preached the gospel faithfully and boldly. And we see that Paul had a past that changed into him being a mighty Christian for the Lord. It's amazing, he basically becomes a different man. And the Word of God teaches us that when we accept Christ, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But we must live in light of the transaction that was made at salvation. We must live as though we really are new creatures, and not focusing on what we were before we got saved, not focusing on those past dependencies that creep up in our Christian life, but rather focusing on the new realities of being a Christian. Now think of the idea of moving forward in 2021. I think of this idea of pressing on towards Jesus Christ, of knowing Jesus Christ. And the reality is that there are so many people who never make progress in life. And the reasons are that they're either paralyzed by fear of the future or they are plagued by the past. And Paul teaches us in this passage that the glories and the failures of the past should not keep us from pressing on in the future. Look at verse number 4, if you will, of Philippians chapter number 3. Here Paul gives us a little insight into who he was as a Pharisee. He says in verse number 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he gives a little bit of insight into what he trusted in before Jesus Christ. And he says, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss, but for Christ. Paul declares that in his past, he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was the top guy in the religious sect of that day, which was persecuting the true church of Jesus Christ. Paul had it made in where he was, but he says that he was living in the flesh. Paul says that was his trust. He said, oh, I might also have confidence in the flesh. He said, look, I did all of the things that you could do in your own power. Paul declares in this that in his works and his self-righteousness, he had it made. As a Pharisee, Paul's glory and accomplishments were all in the way that he obeyed the law. That was all of who the Pharisees were. They obeyed the Old Testament law to a T, and they even put in more traditions and more rules and more laws so that they can strive to obey the law to its fullest extent and to have their own self-righteousness. But Paul says that all of these things were loss. You see, Paul had down in his own strength everything he was supposed to do. Paul had in his own power and in his own righteousness way of living, in his own power, his own strength, his own flesh, everything that he could do to obey the law as a Pharisee. But he was missing Jesus Christ. And far too often we live in our own strength and our own power. Far too often we live like we did before we knew Jesus Christ, and that it's all about what we do. It's all about, okay, I got to obey this, and I got to do this, and I got to do all of these things in our own strength. Now, I've been there so many times where I've relied on my own strength and my own power, whether in day-to-day life or in serving Jesus. But you know what the works of the flesh are? They are empty. Romans 8:8 says, so those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 6-8 really teaches over those few chapters how that when we live in the Spirit, those are the things that honor and those are the things that glorify God when we're walking by faith and when we're living not in our own strength, but in the power of God. That is where blessing and that is where success and that is where glorifying God comes into play. But when we live in the flesh, those things are vain and empty and fruitless. Serving God and living life in the power of our own flesh and self-dependence is empty. Now think of it as like cotton candy. You know, it tastes sweet and you can see it and it looks good, but in the end there's no substance to be found. And as Paul sets forth this mark telling them, he said, you know, if I could have trusted in my flesh, I could have trusted in my flesh more than anybody else. And he points to his past and he points to the way that he used to live. And he says, look, this is not the way I'm living anymore. So I'm not living in my own self-righteousness. But we'll see in a few verses that he strives to live in the righteousness that comes by the power of God. And as we refocus, as we set our mind and our heart on focusing on Jesus Christ, we cannot live in the power of the flesh. And I understand that there's times in life where we get busy, where we get focused on all of these different things, and we say, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and we get to a point where we're so worried and so nervous about everything going on that we depend on self to get it done instead of God to give us the strength to get it done. See, not only do we need to move past living in our flesh, whether that is living sinfully in our flesh or doing good in our own dependence, but we must not live in the past of dwelling on our failures. You see, Paul oftentimes, as you look in the Scriptures, he doesn't even really give a whole detailed past of how he lived before he was saved. You see, Paul often, he recognizes the grace of God and he touches on the grace of God and he touches on the gospel of Jesus Christ and he touches on the power of God, but he doesn't really reference a whole lot his past failures. You see, Paul's conversion caused him to focus on moving forward to know Christ more instead of dwelling on his past as a persecutor of the church. So we don't ever see that as an excuse for Paul. Saying, I can't serve God. This is who I was. I can't serve the Lord. You know, I murdered Christians. I can't do this. I can't serve God. I failed like this, and I failed like this, and I failed like this. But rather, when Paul mentions his past right here, he mentions it just to say, those things I count but loss, and what I count but gain is Jesus Christ, that I may know Him, and that I may follow Him, and that I may strive and press on toward living for Jesus Christ. You see, Paul did not let his past failures keep him from following and serving the Lord. And I can't tell you how many times I've either been talking to friends or I've heard it from people that I've known where they are ashamed of their sin and of their guilt and of their failure. And that's a right attitude to have, to be ashamed of those things and to regret them. But the answer is not to sit there and let it keep us from serving God. The answer is to confess it, to forsake it, and to strive after Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what Paul does. Paul says he counts those things but loss. In verse 13, he declares that he presses on, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth into those things which are before. For Paul, his past is something to acknowledge and then something to put behind him. However, I've met many Christians who will use their past sin and their past failures as an excuse or a hindrance to serving God right now. But if we're going to press on this year, if we're going to focus on Jesus Christ, if we are going to set our mind and our hearts on being a better Christian in 2021, we simply cannot allow our past to keep us from living for God today. You may say, but you don't know what I've done, or you don't know the mistakes I have made. No, I would probably say, you're right, I don't. But I know the grace and the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Remember that if you have been saved, then Christ has made you a new creature. If you have confessed and forsaken, then God has forgiven you and God has freed you from your sin. So don't dwell on it. You know, playing sports, I remember playing a lot of baseball and football. I was never the fastest person. I remember in baseball, we'd have this thing at the end of practice where we'd do a base race, where one of us would stand at home plate and one of us would stand on second base, and we'd have to race as fast as we could to the opposite one. And most often than not, I lost. I am not the fastest person in the world. And I remember my coaches, whether it was a time whenever I should have grabbed an extra base or whether it was a time in football when I should have got a few more yards, but I didn't because I was just slow. I remember they would always tell me, you got to unhitch the trailer. And it was just a saying because, you know, if you're carrying a trailer, you can't move as quick as if you weren't hauling something. And they would make that joke and they would tell me, you got to run a little bit faster. You got to try a little bit harder. They would say, Arthur, you got to unhitch the trailer. And oftentimes, you know, in Christianity and in our Christian life and in following after Jesus Christ, we have a trailer that's full of whether it's past failures or past dependency on our own self-righteousness or our own ability. And we really just got to unhitch that trailer because it's keeping us from pressing on towards Jesus Christ. Some of you this year, in order to refocus and to follow Jesus Christ, you need to look at these failures of the past year, and you maybe look at who you were before you were saved and say, okay, I acknowledge that. I've confessed it. I've gotten it right with God. But I'm not going to use it as an excuse to not follow Jesus Christ. Rather, I'm going to look at him and say, I'm not there anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. He's made me a new creature. So the first thing in regaining our focus is we got to get out of living in the past. And number two, we got to set our focus on Jesus alone. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says, yea, doubtless, and I count all those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. In order to focus, we must not only not live in the past, but we must set our mind, set our hearts, and set our eyes on Jesus Christ alone. As Christians, often, like we talked about in the introduction, is we get just distracted by so many different things. This year, I said it was as stressful as a busy year. Most of us would say yes to that. We get our mind focused on this thing and we get our eyes focused on this thing, and Jesus Christ slowly starts to drop down the priority list. But in order to follow Jesus Christ, in order to regain our focus this year, we need to set Jesus Christ back up as first place, as the one that we are striving after. Now think of racehorses. Horses are often used for racing among many other things, and they're really pretty awesome animals. What's interesting about horses is that they have a fantastic sense of smell, almost like a dog, and they also have pretty good peripheral vision. And what some people found out is that those things can be rather a nuisance in the area of horse racing. So they invented these small flaps of leather called blinders, or to some blinkers, and they would put these small flaps of leather on their eyes so that they could keep them focused on the goal in front of them. Because what they found is there would be some horses that in the race they would see something in the stands, or they would see something in the distance and they would be distracted. They would start to pull. Or they would be distracted and they would lose their focus on running as fast and as hard as they could. They would, instead of being focused on the commands of the rider on their back, they would be focused on whatever they were looking at. And so they made these blinders to help these horses focus on the thing that they needed most, which was the finish line. And often as Christians, like I said, we get distracted. And often we need to put these spiritual blinders out. We need to put out something that will block out the distractions, just like dependence on the flesh and just like past failures and just like the things that will come into our life this year that will seek to pull our focus away from Jesus Christ. And we need to put these blinders on and set our eyes on Christ alone so that we can follow after Him as closely and as reverently and as diligently as possible. See, that is exactly what the Apostle Paul did in this chapter, is he set his focus on Christ alone. How do we set our focus? Three things. Number one, set your focus to know Jesus Christ in His person. Verse number 8 says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Our focus must be to know Jesus better. Our focus must be to worship Jesus Christ more. Our focus must be to spend more time with the Lord, whether it's in our Bible reading, whether it's in a devotional book, whether it's in prayer. Our focus must be to know and understand Jesus Christ more than we have this past year. See, we do those things by spending time in the Word, doing those devotional books that have been passed out. We do those things by spending some more time in prayer. Maybe this year you need to start a prayer journal. We do those things by spending time in the house of God when we're able to be here in person. We do those things by learning and by meditating on facts and truth about Jesus Christ. See, this year we must set our focus on Christ alone. There'll be lots of things this year, whether it's exciting opportunities or whether it's difficult struggles, but we must not let them pull us from striving to know and to follow Jesus Christ better. See, this year there are no better decisions, there are no better resolutions than to spend time with Jesus Christ. There will be no better choices than to learn more about the Lord, and there's no better decision than to be faithful to Jesus in every instance that we can be. You know, this year we'll make a lot of decisions. We'll make a lot of choices. We'll have a lot of things come forward to the plate, but I hope that every choice, that every decision, that everything that we do this year will push us to know Jesus Christ better. Not only should we know His person, but number two, we should know His righteousness. Verse number 9, it says, "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness." Remember Paul talking about not depending on the works of the flesh, not depending on self, he said, "which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You see, Paul, like I said, it goes back to his dependence on obeying the law. It goes back to his dependence on doing the right things and the power of self. Instead, Paul says, "I desire to know the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ." See, Paul says that his desire knowing Christ is to be found in righteousness which is not of our own power, which is not of our own ability, which is not of, "Oh yeah, I was able to do this this year, and I was able to follow Christ like this year, and I was able to do this and do this, and I did it all on my own." But rather, it is to say that, look what Jesus Christ did in me. Look, as I follow Jesus Christ, He gave me the ability to avoid that temptation. As I follow Jesus Christ, He gave me the ability to be more faithful to His Word, to be more faithful to church, to be more faithful to witnessing. As I followed after Christ, as I sought to know Jesus more, He gave me the ability to live in righteousness. when refocusing, we must not endeavor to just try harder to be a good person. We aren't to work harder to do everything we can in our own strength, because the Christian life isn't lived by our own strength. It's lived by faith in Jesus Christ. The Word of God says the just shall live by faith. You see, this teaching of Scripture will really set us free. I remember a point, I think it was after I graduated high school, when I was about 18, 19 years old, where I'd been told a lot of times that I just got to try harder. You know, Arthur, you're struggling, whether it's with that temptation or with that sin, you just got to work harder. You just got to do this and you got to do this. And they give me all this list of things. And they say, you got to do this and do this and do this. And then you can know more of the righteousness of God. And I remember in my high school, and even after I graduated high school that first year, I remember searching for an answer to living for God better. I remember searching for an answer to how to be more holy, to how to be more like Jesus Christ. I remember searching for righteousness, but I was searching for it in all the wrong places. I was searching for it in my own ability. I was searching for it maybe in a word that somebody else could say. But I was missing the point that our righteousness is not found in something one of us could do. Our righteousness is found in what Jesus Christ has already done. And as you look maybe at Romans 6 through 8, there's a good passage talking about abiding in the Word of God and abiding in the Spirit of God, and how that can give us victory, how that can give us the ability to live in righteousness rather than living in our own flesh. We read that verse just a little while ago, that those that live in the flesh cannot please God. And as we set our focus this year on living for Christ, on making maybe some decisions to walk with God this year, to pray, to witness, to be more faithful to church, it's important that we understand that these things aren't going to get us righteousness if we're living and trying to do it in our own strength. But rather trying to follow after Christ and trying to know Him better and letting Him, by our faith and following after Him, give us the strength and righteousness that we need. You see, things about becoming a better Christian, becoming Christ-like, is not by our own efforts, but rather is by our own dependence on Jesus Christ. We learn more of the righteousness of Christ when we rely more on His Spirit. We learn more about how to live for God and how to live in righteousness when we do less of self, less of our own ability, and more of dependence on Jesus Christ in Him alone. So this year, as we focus on Christ, I hope we'll focus on knowing His person. I hope that we'll focus on knowing His righteousness, and I hope that we will focus on knowing His likeness. Verse number 10, really Paul's goal in following Jesus Christ was that he would be more Christ-like. Verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You see, Paul's goal in knowing Christ and knowing the righteousness of God was that he would be more Christ-like. And as Christians, that should be our aim. Now, Christians, the word Christian, it stands for little Christ. And as Christians, we are supposed to display an image of Jesus Christ to those that we meet, to those that we see. In the way that we live our life, they should not see Arthur Acosta living in his own power and his own strength to be a good person. But rather, they should see that Arthur Acosta is just depending on Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is doing things through him. And that should be the same for all of us. Now, many of you probably know the phrase, be like Mike. You know, Michael Jordan, he was arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, and it was said for young athletes that they wanted to be like Mike. And it was probably, I think it was a commercial slogan, and I'm sure it had stuff to do with his shoes and all those different things. It was the idea, you know, you wanted to be like Michael Jordan. If you wanted to be great, if you wanted to be an athlete, if you wanted to be a superstar, the whole kind of, the whole point of it was all to be like Michael Jordan, and then you can achieve greatness. Wow, if you could be like the greatest basketball player, then you're going to reach the pinnacle of being an athlete. And they looked at Michael Jordan and they wanted that skill and they wanted to be the greatest. They wanted the style, they wanted the name, they wanted the brand, they wanted the fame. They wanted all of these different things. They wanted to be like Mike. You know, as Christians, we don't look up to somebody like Michael Jordan. You know, as Christians, we look to Jesus Christ. And I hope that would be in every single area of life, that we would want to be exactly like Jesus Christ. You know, for life, we must purpose to be like Jesus. Paul wanted to know Christ so much. He wanted to know the power of His resurrection. He wanted to know the very power of God on his life to live in righteousness. Paul wanted to know even the fellowship of His sufferings. He wanted the same hardship so that he could know the same humility. He wanted the same difficulties. Paul wanted to be like Jesus Christ as much as he could so that he could know the humility, the righteousness, the strength, and the power of God that would lead others to salvation. And I hope that would be the same for us. You see, Paul wanted more than anything to live a life that was not marked by great preaching. Paul didn't necessarily want to live a life marked by performing miracles, not by being a good person, but rather he wanted his life to be marked by being like Jesus Christ. And as we refocus this evening, as we set our eyes on Christ, as we set our eyes on this new year, maybe as we set some goals, and as we make some decisions, I hope that we will focus on being more like Christ. Will you decide to be like Jesus? We've all heard the phrase, you know, what would Jesus do? It's a good question to ask when making a decision. And as we look at our lives this year, not necessarily just decisions, but our goals and our idea of how this year is going to shake out, we shouldn't ask necessarily what would Jesus do, but how would Jesus live? I hope that we'll have the goal this year of being like Christ. First, tonight we looked at we can't live in the past. Number two, we've got to set our focus on Jesus Christ. And lastly, on refocusing for this new year, we need to press on no matter what. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As you look at these verses, Paul was not satisfied with where he was. He said, "I haven't attained, I haven't apprehended." He said, "I haven't reached the pinnacle of being a Christian." He said, "I haven't arrived yet. I haven't gotten to the point where I could just coast and say, okay, I'm good for the rest of my life." Paul said, "I'm pressing forward. I'm reaching forward. I'm striving to know Jesus Christ better than I did the time before." Paul's getting to the point where he said, "I'm striving to know Jesus Christ more than I do right now." Paul's getting to the point where he's saying, "Oh God, I want to know you. I want to know your sufferings. I want to know the power of your resurrection. And God, I want to follow after you that I might apprehend that for which I'm seeking for, which is to be like Christ." Far too often we get satisfied in our Christian life. We get satisfied maybe with, you know, "I read my Bible through this year and I'm satisfied with that." Maybe we get satisfied with being better than we were before. We get content with being better than we were before we got saved. And even we're content sometimes with just looking good on the outside. See, but the standard of the Christian life is not being better than somebody else. The standard for this year in focusing on Jesus Christ should not just be trying to be better than we were last year. The focus and the standard for following after God, for seeking to know Jesus Christ more, should be that we will be completely Christ-like. And we haven't arrived. Paul said he hasn't arrived. One of the greatest Christians to ever walk the face of this earth said, "I have not reached that point, and neither have we." And if Paul was not satisfied with where he was, then I hope that we will not be either. See, Paul was not satisfied with his relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul was not satisfied with how much he knew God, with how much he knew righteousness. Paul was not satisfied with the way that he was Christ-like. He was striving to grow and to grow and to grow. And I hope this year that we will not be satisfied with where we are, but rather that we will strive to know Christ more. Paul, he wasn't satisfied and he stretched himself. He said, "I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings." And he said, "I might know Jesus Christ." And in verse number 13, he said, "I count not myself to have apprehended." And he said, at the end of the verse, he said, "reaching forth unto those things which are before." And he said, "I press toward the mark." See, Paul was looking forward. Paul was looking for progression. Paul was looking to be better. Paul was looking to know Jesus Christ more, to be more like Christ, not to coast, not just to go by in his own strength and say, you know, I can do it this year just how I did last year and I'll be all right. No, but Paul was willing to keep on pressing forward. We cannot afford but to give our maximum effort in following Jesus Christ. See, God is not interested in our lukewarm Christianity. And the world isn't impressed by our mediocre following of Jesus Christ. If we are going to truly refocus on Christ this year, then we must stretch ourselves. We must press on. Whether it's in the repenting of sin, whether it's in getting the gospel out, or whether it's in spending more time with Jesus Christ, we must press on in every effort so that something that we do this year, whether it's spending more time in the Word of God, whether it's spending more time in prayer, whether it's spending more time at the house of God, whether it's spending more time in meditation or in worship, that what we do this year in stretching ourselves and in pressing on, that we will be more Christ-like than we are right now. Now I think of refocusing. You know, I have bad eyesight, so I wear contact lenses. And every night before I go to bed, I take out my contacts and I put my glasses on as I'm getting ready for bed. You know what? Every time I take those contacts out and I put my glasses on, I have to refocus where I'm looking. Or else it's blurry. Or else I can't see very well. And I put most glasses on, it's just a different perspective. It's a different mindset. It's a different place that I need to look. It's all these different things. I have to refocus so that I can see around the house. So I can see what I'm doing, so I can see where I'm going. You know, maybe you haven't handled 2020 too well. Maybe this year some things have just pulled you off track. Maybe the past 12 months, or maybe even just this last month, you've made some decisions or you've done some things that you regret. Maybe you've realized that you've gone off track and you've lost your focus on Jesus Christ. You know, then this year we need to refocus. We need to stop living in our own self-dependence. We need to stop living maybe in the past and allowing it to drag us down and to keep and using it as an excuse to not serve the Lord. But rather, we need to focus on knowing Jesus Christ more, spending more time in His Word, spending more time on our knees, spending more time in the house of God, spending more time witnessing, spending more time meditating, spending more time worshiping the Lord through song. This year, we need to refocus on knowing Jesus better. And this year we need to press on to being more Christ-like. And I hope that our church will not be satisfied with where we are as Christians. I hope that we will not be satisfied with the growth that we saw last year, but that this year we will press on like no other year to follow and to know our Savior. Because as Christians, that's what we're called to do. We're called to have a deep relationship with God. We're called to know Him more, to know His power, to know His sufferings, to know these things that Jesus Christ has said in His Word that we will know. To reach the world with the gospel. To be a better Christian than we were last year. And not in our own power, but by faith in the Son of God. And my prayer for you and my hope for you this year is that you will follow after Jesus Christ and be more Christ-like than you were this year. And I'm striving and aiming for the same goal, and I pray that we will all reach it together. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we love You. Thank You so much for Your goodness and Your grace and for all You do for us, Lord. And I pray You help us to refocus this year. God, I know that this year I lost my focus. Well, there are times where I focused on so many different things that, Lord, I didn't necessarily focus on You like I should have. And Lord, I pray that You forgive me. I pray You forgive us, Lord. Help us this year to focus on You and being more Christ-like than we did the year before, God. We'll thank You for it, Lord. We love You and praise in Christ's name. Amen.